And turn with me in your Bibles, please, for our second reading to the 60th chapter of the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 60, verse 1. Hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired Word of God. Arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and His glory shall be seen upon thee. And the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising. Lift up thine eyes round about, and see, all they gather themselves together. They come to thee. Thy sons shall come from afar, and thy daughters shall be nursed at thy side. Then thou shalt see and flow together, and thine heart shall fear and be enlarged, because the abundance of the sea shall be converted unto thee. The forces of the Gentiles shall come unto thee. The multitude of camels shall cover thee, the dromedaries of Midian and Ephah. All they from Sheba shall come, and they shall bring gold and incense, and they shall show forth the praises of the Lord. All the flocks of Kedar shall be gathered together unto thee. Rams of Nebaioth shall minister unto thee. They shall come up with acceptance on mine altar, and I will glorify the house of my glory. Who are these that fly as a cloud, as the doves to their windows? Surely the isles shall wait for me, and the ships of Tarshish first, to bring thy sons from afar, their silver and their gold with them, unto the name of the Lord thy God, and to the Holy One of Israel, because he hath glorified thee. And the sons of strangers shall build up thy walls, and their kings shall minister unto thee. For in my wrath I smote thee, but in my favor have I had mercy on thee. Therefore thy gates shall be opened continually. They shall not be shut day or night, that men may bring unto thee the forces of the Gentiles, and that their kings may be brought. For the nation and kingdom that will not serve thee shall perish. Yea, those nations shall be utterly wasted. The glory of Lebanon shall come unto thee, the fir tree, the pine tree, the box together, to beautify the place of my sanctuary, and I will make the place of my feet glorious. The sons also of them that afflicted thee shall come bending unto thee, and all they that despised thee shall bow themselves down at the soles of thy feet, and they shall call thee the city of the Lord, the Zion of the Holy One of Israel. Whereas thou hast been forsaken and hated, so that no man went through thee, I will make thee an eternal excellency, a joy of many generations. Thou shalt also suck the milk of the Gentiles, and shalt suck the breast of kings. And thou shalt know that I, the Lord, am thy Savior and thy Redeemer, the Mighty One of Jacob. For brass I will bring gold, and for iron I will bring silver, and for wood brass, and for stones iron. I will also make thy officers peace, and thine exactors righteousness. Violence shall no more be heard in thy land, wasting nor destruction within thy borders, but thou shalt call thy walls salvation, and thy gates praise. The sun shall be no more thy light by day, neither for brightness shall the moon give light unto thee, but the Lord shall be light, shall be unto thee an everlasting light, and thy God thy glory. Thy sun shall no more go down, neither shall thy moon withdraw itself, for the Lord shall be thine everlasting light, and the days of thy mourning shall be ended. Thy people also shall be all righteous. They shall inherit the land forever, the branch of my planting, the work of my hands, that I may be glorified. A little one shall become a thousand, and a small one a strong nation. I, the Lord, will hasten it in His time. May God add His blessing to the reading and to the hearing of His most holy word. Well, we remember at the end of the last chapter where the Lord promised, and that covenantally, the presence of His Word and Spirit upon His people from henceforth and forever. And so here then we see the effect of that promise, the effect of that covenantal arrangement that God has made where He has promised that His Spirit and His Word shall not depart out of the mouth of His children, nor out of the mouth of His children's children unto forever. So we see then that looking down that corridor into forever, we have the blessing of the Lord described here in Old Testament terms, speaking of the final triumph and ascendancy of the people of God. And this is a great chapter. It sets that forth. Notice, "Arise and shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee." So, while darkness shall cover the earth, God's people would be light. They will show forth the glory of the Lord. This glory is put for light because it is by the knowledge of the Lord that God's people are distinguished from the darkness. The darkness that covers the earth is the ignorance of the Lord and of His ways, which darkness is dispelled among the church. I mean, here of all places. And as the church expands, so will the darkness diminish and the light will expand. That is the knowledge of the Lord. Will cover the earth as the waters cover the face of the deep. The apostles Paul and Peter used the same kind of metaphor to distinguish the people of the Lord from the rest of the people of the world. We've read a little bit in Peter, but the apostle Paul says things like, "Walk as children of light and reprove the unfruitful works of darkness." And what Paul is doing, what Peter is doing, is they're just ushering Isaiah chapter 60 right into the estate of the church in the New Testament. And so the Lord says that not only will the church be light in that day, but she will grow and she will expand. The light will not be relegated, based, limited to a very small portion of the earth, but notice it's all over the face of the globe. The light goes forth, and we are, at least your pastor is, triumphalists in that sense. We do believe that the glory of the Lord, the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ, as it began in a very small group of men in Palestine in the first century, so it is going forth throughout the earth. And now we take a look at the 2,000 years of difference that we have between one and the other, and we see a great expansion of the gospel. Although in our day we may see some darkness and some apostasy, still we do see that growing light as it goes forth over the whole wide world. This light, the light of God's Word and Spirit, draws in all the nations. The religion of Yahweh, as prophesied here by Isaiah, is not a Jewish religion, but a worldwide religion. "Lift up thine eyes," verse 4. "Lift up thine eyes round about and see, all they gather themselves together. They come to thee. Thy sons shall come from afar, and thy daughters shall be nursed at thy side." I don't know about you, but that reminds me of John chapter 4. You remember in John chapter 4, after the conversation of the woman with the woman at the well, Jesus' disciples come to Him and they say, "Where'd you get food? You know, are you hungry? No, I have meat you don't know about. Where'd you get that? How come you're talking to the Samaritan woman?" They got all these questions. And Jesus has something to tell them. He says what? "Lift up your eyes and behold, the fields are white for the harvest." Where are they? Samaria. Why is Samaria significant? Because that's the first ripple outside of Judea where the gospel will go to the whole wide world. And so that ought to remind us. Jesus tells them, "Lift up your eyes." And I don't think it would be too much of a stretch to say that Jesus had Isaiah 60 in His mind when He said, "Lift up your eyes and behold the fields." Listen to what Isaiah says again. "Lift up your eyes round about and see, all they gather themselves together. They come to thee. Thy son shall come from afar, and thy daughters shall be nursed at thy side." And so what we have here is people from all over the world flowing into the church. And what are they called? Are they called Gentiles at that point? No. They're called sons and daughters. There is a great tenderness that exists between the people of God as being brothers and sisters and God's sons and daughters by adoption. Even those Gentile nations that flow into the church in the days of which Isaiah speaks here, they come, and they come as sons and daughters. So then in verse 5 it says, "Then thou shalt see and flow together." You know, that's just not a good translation. I don't like to say that about the King James Version because I have such a great appreciation for the King James. But literally the Hebrew says, "Thou shalt see and be radiant." Thou shalt be radiant. In other words, when the flowing of the Gentiles comes into the church, there will be such a great rejoicing on the part of God's people that our faces will light up with radiance. Look at what God is doing. He's bringing in Gentiles into the church, and the whole world is being filled with the knowledge of God, and we shall be radiant, and our heart shall be, it says enlarged here, that's a good translation, but let's understand it as our hearts shall be wide open to receive them. Sons and daughters, radiance, a wide open heart. This is the response that we ought to have, that we are required to have, that we will have as believers in Christ when people are flowing into the church. Our attitude will not be, "Who are these new folks that have come along? I'm not sure I like them." Our attitude will be to receive them, to love them, to consider them as brothers and sisters in the Lord. And our hearts will be wide open, enlarged toward them. That's what the prophet is saying here. Then he goes on in terms that they will understand to speak of how wide that will be. Notice, the camels and the dromedaries of Ephah and Midian, the people of Kedar. Okay, Ephah and Midian, they are established nations. Kedar, they are the sojourners, the wanderers. It doesn't matter who they are, whether they're established as a people or whether they're sojourners and wanderers, everybody's coming. You better get ready. That's the point that the prophet is making here. Everybody's coming. So we see the universality of the religion of Yahweh upon the whole world, that the world comes in its strength. All right, so then verses 9 through 14. Continuing the thought from before, the prophet speaks of the strength of the Gentiles coming to Israel. However, here he adds other propositions first. Notice that there is a particular order. I don't know if you caught that or not in our reading. He says, first, the ships of Tarshish, then the isles. Now, if you lived in the ancient Near East, you would understand exactly what he's talking about. Tarshish, where's that? Anybody remember where Tarshish is? Well, it's like Spain. It's like the southern part, the north of the Mediterranean Sea, all the way out toward the west. You remember the Rock of Gibraltar, the Straits of Gibraltar there. It's a little teeny strait there through which ships come into that wider expanse of the Mediterranean Sea. And so if you're going to go beyond that Strait of Gibraltar out into the howling wilderness of the Atlantic Ocean, put yourself in the mindset of an ancient Near Easterner, well then you're going to need ships to do that. So Tarshish comes first, and then the isles. And so we see a progression, right? We see things going out from Jerusalem to the whole wide world because it flows out from Zion. The salvation of the world comes from here. It flows out from the church. So to Tarshish, and then on beyond Tarshish to the isles. An orderly expansion. And the favor of the Lord will cause all the great ones of the earth to come and to build up the walls of Jerusalem. Notice the confidence that the nation of God has. They are protected and favored by Him, and so her gates are open, where typically they would be shut. and the enemies of Jerusalem shall perish. That is, the enemies of the church. And those who afflicted Jerusalem will come bowing before her, and she shall have the reputation of being the city of the Lord of armies. She shall be protected. Of course, we're not talking about a literal Israelite nation, but of the church herself. So then in the final section, we have, she had been forsaken, but she will be excellent. Kings of the Gentiles will nourish the church. And this speaks of the establishment of religion on a national level. As our Reformed fathers understood it, the church would be countenanced, supported, and maintained by the civil magistrate. The officers of the church shall be purified so that they do not oppress, but they minister truly the things of the Lord. Returning to the theme of light then, the Lord speaks of Himself as the church's light and glory. And finally in this section, there is a universal righteousness. The Lord is indeed pursuing a course of universal righteousness. So it's an amazing passage, isn't it? Amazing passage about the days of the church, the days of Messiah's kingdom, when that kingdom will be from one end of the globe to the other. That the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ, that is the church, not only will she spread throughout all nations, but she will arise in all nations. All right, with that then, let's stand and continue praising God in the singing of psalms.